You there?
Yes, I am here, George Chapel. How are you?
I'm just fine, and you can tell Sarah that we finally got.
Yep. Okay, she can rest easy now.
Yep.
Okay, I am Keith Stone, and you are.
I am George Chapel.
And we are two college buddies that are doing our 9th episode of George and Keith Musings, a podcast that is entertaining millions. I think.
Are you there?
Yep. Can you not hear me?
Oh no, I got you again. I think I might have lost you there for a moment, but I'm good now.
Okay, I'll just tell on how great I was and how I was carrying you along with me.
Oh, and don't think I don't appreciate that.
Okay, good. As long as we understand. So today, George, we're doing top 10 animated movies to go along with our earlier categories, which was top 10 comedic movies and top 10, I guess you call it dramatic movies, non-comedics, whatever you want to call them that.
I'll set to go with another one here.
Okay, I got a couple of early trivia questions for you. Now, Disney is obviously kind of the Goliath when it comes to animated movies.
Sure.
And we're going to separate, for the purposes of this trivia question, Disney from Pixar. How many full-length animated Disney films have there been made?
Oh, well, I'm going to have to say like 38.
Okay, the number is 56.
Wow.
And Ralph Wrecks the Internet is coming out this year. That'll be number 57. Any idea how many Pixar movies have been made to date?
The Pixar, there've been a lot, probably more. I'm going to go, let me say they started 95, it's 23 years. I'm going to go with 20.
Bing, 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 bing. 20 is exactly correct. Yes.
Wow. How about that?
You collect your steak dinner on the way out. And so Incredibles 2 is coming out here like in a week or two, and that will be number 21.
Wow.
And then I think there's a Frozen 2 coming out, but that's considered a Disney movie, not a Pixar. Anyways, so that's your two big trivia questions there. Now let's get into things that we like. Go ahead with your 10th favorite animated movie.
Okay, my number 10 animated movie is one of the more recent ones. It's one of the computer animated ones, but it's not Pixar. But it's a movie that I always really liked. It has a lot of good tongue-in-cheek humor, and it's Shrek. Shrek the Ogre, who lives in far away, I think is the land where they live, and all he does is just wants to kind of be left alone, and keeps getting pulled into all these different adventures with all the fairy tale characters. One of the great things about the movie is Eddie Murphy's donkey character. I love him in that. So I think like the sequels too. I think John Cleese was in the sequel, so you know that always scores extra points for me. So.
Oh my God, John Cleese! Holy cow! All right,
I'll throw John Cleese in there if I can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you know, it seems like that being a voice in an animated film is kind of a big deal. It seems like a lot of the big stars are doing that and have been doing that. And you would think that would be kind of like beneath them, but I don't know. It seems like it's kind of a badge of honor for a lot of them now.
It is. It's a huge, huge thing. And some are, as I think we'll see on a lot of this list, some of the voice actors really add a lot to the movies themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to go back in time a little bit. My number 10 is 101 Dalmatians, and that is because of Cruella de Vil, one of the most heinous villains in movie history, in a Disney movie. But she was easy to hate, and I don't know any of the voices. This was before famous people were doing the voices, but I just remember that movie and feeling sorry for those puppies.
Well, okay, I'm gonna give you a little bit of Dalmatian trivia then.
Okay.
Cruella de Vil was a woman by the name of Betty Lou Gerson, who I just happened to see in a Twilight Zone, probably in the last month or two. I was going through the Twilight Zone episodes, and she was actually a character in a Twilight Zone, and she played a Hollywood agent, so kind of a Cruella type character.
Was she in the same episode as Ruta Lee?
A different episode from Ruta Lee. So
okay, that's pretty good trivia there. You thank God for Twilight Zone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kept a lot of people employed through the years.
Sure did, and they probably Disney was probably watching that episode, and they said, "That's who I need for Cruella de Vil."
There you go. Okay, George, number 9.
Okay, my number 9. I'm going to Disney now, and it kind of like you said, that made Dalmatian such a great movie was the villain of Cruella de Vil. Well, number 9 is another movie that has an excellent, excellent villain. It seems to me that the villains really add a lot to these fairy tale type movies. But my number 9 is Cinderella. And I know Cinderella it's a real girly kind of movie on the face of it, but Cinderella's stepmother was so evil and just had such hatred in her heart. And one of the things that made her such a good villain is that she didn't even have any magical qualities or anything. She was just an evil, evil person who was so selfish and just wanted... It was just enough for her to make Cinderella miserable, would give her joy. So, and her that character's name a lot of people don't know, but it's Lady Tremaine was her name, and so just that great Disney villain put Cinderella as my number 9.
Yeah, we can get into this later, but it always seems like Disney, the happiest place in America, their movies always had a dark side, didn't they? There was always a villain or something terrible happens to somebody you care about, and it's disturbing, but I guess it worked.
Well, and it's that good versus evil that's a great storytelling tool.
Okay, my number 9 is a Disney movie. It is the first ever Disney movie of those 56. Made in 1937, and it's okay. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Now, that also has a great villain in there, the witch with the apple, but I liked that movie for the Seven Dwarfs. They were great. I love those guys, and they protected Snow White as best they could, and they're kind of legendary. So that's really why I picked that movie.
Okay. And they had the great Hi Ho song.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a pretty good one, actually. But, good.
So let me ask you this. Who was your favorite dwarf?
Oh, probably Dopey.
Okay. With me, it always comes down, it's either Dopey or Grumpy. Those got to be, like, the top two, right?
Yeah. It was good to have Doc around because he could, he could help him make decisions that needed to be made.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, number eight.
Number 8 is another one, just an excellent, excellent villain in this movie. It's one of the more recent Disney ones, and it's a computer graphic one, and it's not Frozen, but it's Tangled, which is it was a movie they released before Frozen, as a matter of fact. It tells a story of Rapunzel, but the character that is Rapunzel's, well, it's not Rapunzel's mother. It's this woman that kidnaps Rapunzel when she's an infant, and steals her for her, basically for her magic hair. And she uses Rapunzel's magic hair to keep her young forever. But she lets Rapunzel believe that she is her mother. And actually, to the point where she raises Rapunzel as her daughter, but not out of love, just for these very selfish reasons. But one of the things that makes her so evil is that she actually Rapunzel, she manipulates Rapunzel into loving her, even though she's this really awful person. So
another happy Disney plot line.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Kidnapped children. Locked up in a tower in prison for life. Yeah. So.
Okay.
But a kind of a sleeper movie. I think it's been overshadowed by Frozen in recent years, but I liked it better than Frozen myself. So I'm
okay. That's very sleeper. I'm not even sure I even saw that movie. So okay. I'm ashamed to say.
I would recommend it.
My number eight, I went with Monsters, Inc. And that is when you get into some good voices of John Goodman and Billy Crystal playing Mike and Sully. And that didn't really have any scary parts to it or any dark pieces that I recall. But they're just trying to help that little girl through her nightmares.
Yeah. Also, it's Steve Buscemi as he was that, I can't remember the name, but he was that lizardy type character.
Yeah. Another true to form, looking just like him, huh? Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, number seven.
Number seven, back to Disney. This is one of the movies that my kids used to watch a lot when they were quite young. It goes back to the early 90s, and it's Aladdin. Aladdin had a really good villain in it, and he added a lot to the movie, but the fact that Robin Williams played such a memorable genie character in that movie really stole the movie. And what I understand, the animators, they just kind of let him, Robin Williams, just kind of riff along just the way he would, and they would kind of like animate to what everything he said. So they really allowed Robin Williams to be himself, and they kind of made the movie around him.
Well, that makes sense. And Gilbert Gottfried as the parrot, he has a very memorable voice. But yeah, Robin Williams was just all over the place on that movie. And you're starting to tread on my movies, but I'll just announce those as we get to them. I have a higher opinion of some of these that you're listing off.
Fair enough.
So that was your number seven. My number seven is The Incredibles. About just like a mild-mannered family, but they all had their superheroes. Craig T. Nelson is the father, and I know, like I said earlier, Incredibles 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There wasn't anything specific about that movie that I liked. It was just funny. I love that Pixar animation, how realistic it looks. I don't know. I just, as I was going through my whole list, I just know that that movie tickled me.
I think my favorite part of The Incredibles was probably Edna Mode. She always kind of cracked me up. The little lady made all their capes and all their costumes, but she wouldn't make capes, right? Because capes were the downfall of the superheroes.
You're right. I forgot all about that. But yeah, I can picture her, that little lady with her glasses. Yeah, absolutely. Seven. Or six. Are we at six for you? Yeah, we're at six for you.
Yep. Not number six. Number six, back to Pixar. Some great voices and just some truly beautiful animation, but it's Finding Nemo. I think that movie was just so beautifully done. Animating the water to look very realistic. I loved Albert Brooks as the voice of Marlin, and even more so Ellen DeGeneres as Dory. kind of stole that show for me. I thought she was just exceptionally funny. And you know, another there, you know, another kind of dark story of, you know, a child getting taken away, and you know, the dad going off to find him, and you know, finding Dory along the way, and very, very heartwarming and funny story.
Yeah, and you are just killing me, George. I'm gonna find a new partner. Usually, we don't agree on these things, but here's how it goes. Now, my number six was Aladdin. And we talked about that. Robin Williams stole that movie, and he is hilarious. I mean, that guy is so manic. I couldn't imagine him in that little booth recording all that.
Yeah.
Number five is Shrek with Mike Myers. Well, I don't think we mentioned Mike Myers.
No,
he's one of my favorites. And Cameron Diaz is also in that movie as like a Princess Fiona, I believe is her name.
Yep.
And then you further crushed me. With number four is Finding Nemo, because that was all because of Dory. Ellen DeGeneres was excellent in that movie, and say in my house, like I have an excellent memory, things like that that she would always say, and you know, keep swimming. That was a good one, and I also liked the turtle, that the surfer dude turtle.
Oh, Crush. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another voice from Shrek that we forgot, but John Lithgow. He was that short little prince guy. He was like the villain of the movie, but he's another great voice actor.
He is a good one. So yeah. you just see how you're wiping me out there, George? We went 6-5-4. I don't even know where we are now.
I was just picking you up. Well, I'll go to the next one on my list, which I'm sure will be, you know, the next one up on your list too. It's also, I think it was the same company that did Shrek. I think it was DreamWorks or whatever, I think. But
okay.
My number five is Despicable Me. And Despicable Me, I mean, for one, you know, had all those great little minions, which were always a lot of fun to watch.
Yep.
But Steve Carell as Gru, who's this ostensible bad guy. He's obviously the hero of the movie. But Steve Carell is another one of those guys that always makes me laugh. Great voice actor. And, you know, and kind of another story. It's almost the opposite of a lot of the stories we've had where, you know, the children get taken away. But in this one, you know, he ends up with a family as the children come to him.
Yeah, he softens.
Yeah, yep, and they become a family. So, yeah, Despicable Me is my number five.
But best yet, one of the little girls' name is Agnes.
Is Agnes. I think the best one is named Agnes.
So that's my mom's name, and you don't hear that name very often, so.
Yeah.
So what was that number? Was that number five for you?
That was number five.
Finding Nemo for me, so go ahead and steal another one from me and do your number four.
Okay, my number four that I'm sure I'll also steal from you is back to Pixar, and it's the movie Up. I love that one. It's got Ed Asner as this grumpy old guy who kind of like honors... The beginning of the movie starts out with this kind of like this 4 or 5 minute short about how his character meets this when he's a kid, he meets this girl, they grow up, they get married, and they have this life together, and they want to have a family, but they're not able to, but they have this great life, and they always dream of going to this place in South America. And then, you know, as so often happens in these movies, you get this real downer moment where she dies and he's kind of like left to himself. But then as it happens, this young kid comes along and kind of gives him the child that they never had. And they go on this adventure and they actually go to this place in South America. But what really made Up for me was the character Doug, who was this talking dog. And it's just one of those things that everything Doug said, we could just envision our own dog saying. So
yeah, and it had the voice translator, so you knew what he was thinking, and it was excellent. Yes.
Yes.
I don't even know you, and I love you already. Things like that.
I just met you, and I love you.
Yeah. Right. Oh, no, that's funny. I was talking to my physical therapist the other day about various movies, and Up came up in the conversation, and she did not like that movie because she got so sad at the beginning when Ed Asner's wife died that she cried, and she couldn't watch the rest of it. And I says, you got to give it a chance. It's a great movie. But it's just kind of funny how you had mentioned that, and it affected her so much she couldn't continue.
I always kind of thought that if they had just released that opening sequence as a short, it probably would have won an Oscar. Because it was so well done. Very, very few words. It was mostly done with just visuals.
Yep. Yeah, it was very good. Okay, so that was your number four or three?
That was my number four.
Okay, my number four was Finding Nemo.
Okay.
But we said that already. And so let me jump ahead of you for once. Yep. My number three is a movie that I watched probably more than any other movie in history. And it was my oldest son, Andy's fault. It's Lion King. And that movie came out in 1994. Andy was born in 1992. So, you know, he was, even as a two-year-old, he kind of watched it. But holy mackerel, these are back in the days of VCRs and having to rewind a tape.
Yeah.
And I can't believe we got through it with just the one tape, because we watched that nonstop. And the thing is, normally in a case like that, you'd be tired of the movie. Like, get this away from me. I don't ever want to see that again. But I love that movie. That's a great movie. Another sad, you know, sad beginning. And you've got Scar, who's evil. You know, there's a lot of lighthearted parts. You get to see Simba grow up. And I love that movie. It's a great movie.
Well, hey, you just stole my thunder, because my number three is The Lion King.
All right.
For a lot of the same reason, my kids are a little older than yours, but it's in the movie that they also watched a lot when they were young. James Earl Jones and Jeremy Irons, played Mufasa and Scar. And the thing is, they both have such deep, rich voices that you can believe that they're brothers. But, you know, James Earl Jones is very regal and dignified. And Jeremy Irons just had this really creepy kind of note to his voice. So that was a great contrast there. Here's some Lion King trivia, is that a lot of the story of the Lion King is based off of Hamlet. And a lot of the things like Hamlet, who speaks to his father's ghost, and his uncle is trying to take the kingdom. So there's a lot of elements. So they say that Lion King borrowed a lot from Hamlet in a lot of the story structure. But beyond that, also the songs were excellent. Last year, the night before, or I think it was the night that my grandson was born, the night afterwards, we went to see my just born grandson, and then Gretchen and I went to see The Lion King at the Detroit Opera House. So we saw the Broadway version of it, and it was breathtaking.
Yeah, Sarah's seen that too. She said it was excellent.
Yep, sure was.
Now let's not forget about Timon and Pumbaa too. They were the comedic part of the movie.
Yep. And then it was Nathan Lane and the other guy, The other guy, the Pumbaa. Here's some Pumbaa trivia for you.
All right.
Pumbaa, do you remember the Seinfeld episode where Jerry's riding on the subway, and he looks across, and there's a guy sitting across from him that's taking all of his clothes off.
Yeah, naked guy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Pumbaa.
No way.
Sure is.
His name escapes me right now, but that's the guy that played Pumbaa. You're sitting naked.
I'm gonna have to fact check you on that one, George.
Yeah.
But that's a great one. Let's just pretend it's true. I love it.
Ernie Sabella, that's his name. So yeah, look up Ernie Sabella, but yeah, you'll find out.
Now in the Seinfeld episode, did he sound like Pumbaa? Do you remember?
I think he sounded like himself, so it was enough that you could tell.
Huh. Well, I'm going to have to rewatch that and figure that out.
Yep.
Okay, my that was your number three.
That was my number three.
You've ruined my number two as well, and that was Up. And okay. I love that movie the most because of Doug the dog. And a big thing in our family, again, is whenever somebody gets distracted, we all go, squirrel.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of Doug's big lines. He would be talking, all of a sudden, you'd think he'd see the squirrel and everything would stop.
Yeah. And all the other dogs, too, right? And I think that's something that's kind of entered the general lexicon of the English language now, too. I think, yeah.
It has. Absolutely. When you say that, everybody knows that, okay, you're off track.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, George, so what's your number two?
My number two, this is a bit of a repeat because I know we talked about these when we were doing our top comedies, but my number two is Toy Story. I think we've given Toy Story a lot of love in some of these lists that we've been doing, but I'll just kind of reiterate. Woody and Buzz, I think, are one of the greatest comedy teams in movie history. I think there's such great chemistry between those two. And the voice acting with Tom Hanks and Tim Allen and the timing that they share, I think, is just has some of the great lines. And it's a great story of friendship.
Yeah. It's a great story of stealing my number one, which is Toy Story. That was on my comedy list, just like yours. Now that was the very first Pixar movie.
Yep.
So that's my trivia there. And I've told this story when we talked about comedy movies, but I'm going to tell it again. The owner of all those toys was a boy named Andy, which is my oldest son. And it kind of followed his life, especially Toy Story 3. When he was going off to college, that came out in 2010, which is the same year that Andy graduated.
Yeah.
And for Andy's trip, we gave him a choice of, where do you want to go to celebrate graduating high school? We went down to Disney World, and he and I stood in line to talk to Woody, or to see Woody get our picture taken. And I got up there, and I told Woody, I says, hey, this kid's name is Andy. And Woody got all excited and lifted up the bottom of his boot, and there was Andy written right on there, just beautiful, like it was in the movie. So that was a good story. And as a matter of fact, Andy was telling me a story just the other day that he had to tell a story like about how you would tell, I don't even know what it's right, but tell somebody about something without like too many – on an emotional level rather than a factual level. So he told them that story. And so I guess pretty cool that he remembers that moment as fondly as I did.
That's beautiful.
So, okay, Georgie, what's your number one? I thought you took all of mine. So what could be left?
Well, this is another movie that also showed up on my top comedies list.
Oh, I know what it's going to be. Okay, go ahead, man.
And it's South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. Ever since I first started watching South Park, I've just loved all those characters. I think Eric Cartman is one of my favorite all-time characters. It was actually released as a musical. And the songs are actually really, really quite good. They're all written by Trey Parker. And it kind of gave a preview of some of the types of songs that they'd come out with when they did Book of Mormon and won a bunch of Tony Awards on Broadway. But South Park is just, it's just a full length, basically it's a full length South Park episode where the boys all go and watch an R-rated movie. They sneak into an R-rated movie, and the parents are all aghast that they were able to do that, and they're all speaking with this foul language now. And so the parents are looking. Who can they blame for this? And they say, well, they certainly can't blame us, we the parents, because the parents, we wouldn't make any mistakes with our kids.
Right.
Determined that this R-rated movie came from Canada, and so they have this big push to declare war on Canada because it's all Canada's fault. It's not the parents for sure.
Well, that sounds pretty familiar with the way people raise their kids and people taking responsibility for things. They're way ahead of their time. The political insight and sarcasm of South Park is very biting and very right on most of the time.
And that's why I love it so much.
I gave the Simpsons movie some consideration just because I love the Simpsons so much, but I didn't see it and I couldn't fit it in there at all. And so let's look at this, George. We didn't have too many that weren't the same. We both had Up. We both had Toy Story. We both had Lion King. We both had Aladdin. We both had Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
And we both had Shrek.
Yeah. So.
Wow, that's a record.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, and I was at least able to like steal most of your thunder on all these because I went ahead. Yeah.
That's okay. Well, you do most of the trivia, so I would have just said, "Yeah, I like Up." Okay, what do you say, George? And then you were able to present lots of facts, so that was good. I appreciate you picking up my slack.
Oh, hey, that's what I'm here for.
Okay, so listeners, next episode is episode number 10. So that requires something special, and I think it's going to be the most difficult top 10 list that we've done to date, and it's going to be revolves around our favorite comedy television show, Seinfeld, and we are somehow going to try and pair through and decide the top 10 Seinfeld episodes. I've started that, and I think I've got about 20 that I love, and I don't know how I'm going to get to 10, but you know, that's my problem, right? That's what we have to do.
Well, and I've started as well. I think my first cut, I've got 26 nominations. So
yeah.
So, all right. This is going to be a challenge.
It'll be fun. Okay, George, well done. Tell all your friends, everybody, you can get this on Apple. If you just Google George and Keith's musings, you'll get about 8 or 9 different platforms. Seems like one or two gets added every week. I don't know how that's happening, but you can get all the episodes. Like I said, we've got 9 on there now, and we appreciate your support. George and I went to a Tiger game with about 20 other people last weekend, and got a lot of positive feedback from those people. So. Yep. If it's good enough for them, it's certainly good enough for others, correct?
I just want to say it was nice meeting all you folks out there, too, the other day. So, keep listening.
Okay, George. Yeah, have a great week, and I'll be talking to you. And we're going to have to work hard. I don't know. We might have to skip work a couple of days next week.
How's that different than any other week?
There you go. All right, buddy. Take care of yourself.
All right, you too. Okay,
all right, bye.